The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the house of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Glory to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Our scripture today leads us directly to next Sunday, when we will all wave our palms, knowing that Jesus is King, and then experience that whiplash of listening to the Passion narrative. And always at this time of year, my question is, how did Jesus do what he did? I mean, really, how was he able to walk through so faithfully? How do any of us actually get through hard things that come up in our lives? Saying goodbye to a loved one, leaving a place that we've loved, starting over because of a loss, getting up sometimes just every morning and getting on with the day in the midst of some time of despair or depression or even just general weariness. And then I get to, how did Jesus do it? So let's begin with Isaiah this morning, where the Lord is speaking through the prophet. This is the Lord to whom the Exodus and liberation from slavery is at the core of identity. This is the Lord that liberated the Israelites from Egypt through the Red Sea. And the Lord says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" This command to not remember the former things is not about forgetting the past, but rather, it is the call, is God's call to his people to look toward the future, where God is always, always doing a new thing, where every generation takes the strengths and the learning passed on to them and uses them for the building up of the reign of God in some new way. It's where the life of our parish is today, this parish. Do you not perceive how God is calling us into action right now? And it's not just us, I don't think, although we clearly have a transitional year, but every church, every Christian church, is called to action to see what God is going to do new now. But even if our imaginations are not crystal clear or have the clarity that we need yet, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, shows us this morning a way forward in technicolor. Sort of imagine this in your mind. I'm going to read it again. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, says the Lord. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. I'm not sure I've seen any ostriches in Longmeadow, but for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. We are that chosen people. These images of wilderness and water we know well through our baptismal promises. It's why in Lent the baptismal font is so right there in front of us. Just as Paul and the apostles and the many other unnamed men and women were a chosen people, we are the chosen people of our generation. Just as Jesus and Martha and Mary and even Judas were the chosen people in that home on that day we just heard about. The day so near to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Our gospel today is real story, not parable. Jesus had a deep relationship with these people on that day, the day that he knew was coming, and he chose to go and share it with this group of people. They were part of his tribe. They were his followers. And Mary on that day knows to pour out her love for Jesus in this particular specific way. Mary had listened to Jesus' words, and now she remembers and believes in what he said. She's not standing there in denial. She sees what is coming. And the only time an anointing like the one that she does happens is at the coronation of a king or a burial. That was the tradition. And her extravagance is all about love and honoring. Mary has her eyes and heart focused on the future that Jesus has told them would come, even though it is not the future she expected or wanted. And she had no idea how she was going to get through it. So she focuses on what she knows to do in this moment. Mary shows Jesus her amazing love for him. It seems that Jesus has been guided and empowered by the love of women named Mary, often in his life. I think the most important Mary was probably his mother, who had that great influence when she encouraged him through her love to begin his ministry at the wedding at Cana. That was where his ministry began. And now another Mary is showing her love right before the greatest week that ever was. She set him on his way into the ministry he always was destined for, Mary, his mother, even though it was not ever what she expected or wanted. And both of them gave their unconditional love to him and made everything possible, that love. Another passage from Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners." Jesus took those words on as his guiding scripture. as his life's focus, to keep the poor with him always. So it makes total sense that his response to Judas this morning would be to connect Mary with this present moment where his death is imminent, and his followers, his disciples, with the plight of the poor that would be there with them after he was gone. He is inviting them to keep their eyes on the hope of a time beyond his death. And that's how Jesus does what he does in his life, death, and in his resurrection as well. It is the love. He keeps his eyes on the hope for where justice is, and he accomplishes it by accepting and relying on the unconditional love of those around him, those he knows best, those who know him best, even when they're not listening to him and not remembering. But Mary's love sent him into his most holy week, where he chooses acts of love, just as she did. She modeled it for him. And so he goes to help his disciples in this next part of their journey. And no matter what they do or don't do, his love will be with them. They all are there together around a common table in that holy week. He washes their feet. He prays with them. That's what you do when you have hard things to go through. And Jesus' love is with us today. That's why you're all here. When the bread of heaven is placed in your hand up here, remember and believe that it is always the love of Christ calling us into a future based on hope and the common good. By keeping the poor and the brokenhearted with us always. Feel that in the palm of your hand. And we also have the Spirit of the Lord upon us. Do you feel it? The Spirit of the Lord. And the poor are also still with us. It's time to go forth and actually get to know them. I actually picked up the Forward Day by Day this morning at about 7:30 this morning and opened it to today. And I just want to read you what the last line, the whole thing, the whole reading. How many of you read these? If you haven't read the Forward Day by Day, there's a bunch of new ones that are outside the office. You should go pick one up. We have just a few of them that are this big, but they're daily readings. For this one is for the months of February, March, and April. There's a new one out there for May, June, and July. But this last paragraph just took my breath away and splashed cold water in my face. It says, each unemployment line, shelter, soup kitchen, and homeless child is a telltale sign of our neglect of the gospel and one another. How we love the least of these is how we love Jesus. So I'm going to make this suggestion to you. You have an opportunity after this service to get a quick bite to eat back there, to chit-chat for a few minutes. And then I would suggest that some of you might think about driving over to Springfield and joining the Church Without Walls this morning. That congregation is probably one of the most welcoming and appreciative congregations I've had the honor to serve. I'm actually getting to know names now and actually knowing who takes communion and who doesn't. And they all know each other. And knowing each other by name is really important. Go there, because there you truly will find Christ and Christ's common table. Just a thing to think about, if not today, maybe next week. But soon. Amen.